Mr. Lazenby, reel 12.
One thing I forgot to ask you about life aboard ship, religious services. What was the frequency and form of religious service aboard ship?
We always, every morning, had prayers and a hymn on a big battleship, of course. You weren't on a smaller ship. A big battleship where you had a marine band. You went to divisions at 9 o'clock in the morning. The padre came up. You sang a hymn to the band. And he went through a very brief form of the Church of England morning service, and then you carried on with your PT and that sort of stuff. That was every morning. On Sundays, we always rigged church on the quarter deck, which was a very formal affair.
What did that involve?
That involved taking all your mess stools up, rigging them like two sets of pews with an aisle in the middle, and as they only had legs on one end, you had to provide buckets and capstan bars to prop up the other ends. And then we had always had a lectern that was kept down below aft, you know, and that was brought up, and the St. George's Cross draped over it. That's a white flag with a red St. George's Cross draped over it. And the chaplain used to stand there with his surplice on Sunday, and we'd have a proper service. All the officers would be seated at the front in wardroom chairs and be brought up, and it would be a proper service on a Sunday. We also had a chapel, a little chapel. And it was a little place set aside with an altar in it, a communion table, crossing a couple of candlesticks, permanent seating. And there, the chaplain could have his special services. There was always a Sunday evening service there, which was not compulsory, and anyone who wanted to go would go along to the chapel. He would have his communion services there. So the only time we had communion services were down in the chapel, not on the upper deck.
These arrangements you're describing, did they apply to both the Benbow and the Emperor of India?
Yes,
they
did. Every ship I was in, every big ship, had a chapel.
What was the attitude of the men to the compulsory religious observance every morning and on Sunday service?
Oh, they didn't like it, of course. They took it with a good heart, but they didn't like it. They thought it was a lot of rubbish, really. And they thought that the chaplain was only an encumbrance, really.
I was going to ask you that. What was the attitude to naval chaplains?
Most of the men thought that the men were on a good thing, the chaplains were on a good thing. That they they'd got into the church for what they could get out of it. They came to a ship and they had nothing to do except take one Sunday morning service, which was quite wrong, because they were responsible for all the social activities of the men and for their moral welfare and social welfare. I mean, if you had any trouble at home, you went to see the chaplain, and he could get in touch with somebody at home, would go to see your wife for you and that sort of thing. He was also usually an MA, and so he took classes. He was a school teacher. He usually took the midshipmen to classes. And he was pretty fully occupied. And he also had a lot to do with the the recreational opportunities, concerts and that sort of thing. He had a lot to do with that sort of thing. Anything was to do with the men's welfare.
But despite this, they were not generally popular.
Oh, they were popular, but they were still regarded as people who were making a living out of the church, I think. And some of them, I think, might have been wearing a cloak of religion in a restricted sort of sense, you know, not generally.
Yes.
I mean, some of them, I think, might have been more Christian than they were.
These are very general observations. I wonder if they're based on your experience of any particular naval chaplains. I don't want you to mention any names, but nonetheless...
No, this is what the average man used to think about them. I thought quite differently. See, I thought that the chaplains did a good job, and I knew some of the chaplains intimately. I remember, for instance, we were coming down from Constantinople on the Benbow, or the Emperor of India. No, it was the Emperor of India. And among the people we were bringing down to Malta was an army chaplain. His name was Father Strong. And he held voluntary open air services on the upper deck as we were coming down. Anybody could go and sit on the deck and listen to him. And he was a very good speaker, and he made a profound impression on me. He said afterwards, "Now, if anybody would like to talk about these things with your own chaplain, will you put your name on a piece of paper and put it on a, we've put a letterbox outside his door, the chaplain's cabin door, put it on there, see, and you can see the chaplain and talk to him about these things." So I was so impressed by him that I put my name on a piece of paper and I saw the chaplain. And he said, "Well, of course, your main thing is to get rid of your sin." I said, "Oh, yes, I know I'm a sinner, all right." Well, he said, "Now, the only way to do that is to come to confession." I said, "Confession?" I said, "Isn't that Catholic?" He said, "No, it's confession to put your sin away." Now, he said, "Make arrangement. You come down to the chapel on Saturday night and we'll have a form of confession." Now, I was disturbed about this. I was really serious about it, mind you. But I had a pair of socks on that had pinched off the clothesline out of the drying room because my unwanted darling. And so I went to confession with him, just he and I in the little chapel. And he read through the Ten Commandments, each time suggesting that I might have broken that particular one. You see, when it comes to committing adultery, "Have you had any evil thoughts about this, that, the other?" You see, and stealing, "Have you ever wasted time?" Oh, things like that, you see. And he suggested things into my mind. But I got so that I was going to the voluntary services all the time. I was going to communion. He got me serving communion. But the trouble with me was that I was trying to be a Christian, and I couldn't. And I was putting my religion on every Sunday morning with my number one suit. And I was taking it off every Sunday night with my number one suit. And all the week I was just the same as everybody else. But on Sunday I was a pious hypocrite. And the lads knew it. And I had an awful time with them.
In what way?
But they made my life a purgatory because they were calling me Holy Joe and all that, and I was swearing back at them. They knew jolly well that I was trying hard on a Sunday and I couldn't do it. And you see, I was just going back to the old ways on during the week. And you know, in the Navy, you can't be a hypocrite.
You can't put on an act when you're living
with them all the time, you see.
That's very interesting.
Yes.